All right, Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. So, today, we are doing a two-part series. This is the first part, and it was a question that came in from a listener about how we find and then how we keep the best coaches. And if you've run any sort of business before, you know that eventually as a business owner, it becomes a point of leading and maintaining and growing an amazing team, because the team, at some point, runs the business, right? Mm. And so the team is extremely important, and I don't think you realize it until, you know, you're at a point where you do have, you know, a lot of people that rely, their livelihood relies on your business being successful. And then it all of a sudden dawns on you how serious it is. So this is the first part in a two-part series. This will be on how we find and how we hire the interview process, the best coaches. And then the second part is going to be on how we keep them, how we have retention of the best coaches. So there's a lot to get into. But before we get into today, guys, remember this episode is brought to you by Wattify. It's the gym software platform that we use on the front end. It's amazing for our clients. They sign into classes, they log all their scores, they can see what they did last week. They got graphs on their progress that just pulls up really nicely at the start of classes. It's an amazing program. The clients only say good things about it. And then on the back end, it's really good for coaches because the coaches can handle all their clients' payments, their attendance, any sort of issues they might have with their account, changing their mobiles, address, all that stuff is just basic stuff, but it's Wattify just makes it really easy. And I think some software platforms make it really difficult.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but Wattify have just made the user experience one of their most important things as well. And to cap that off as well, they have excellent customer service.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Even for all different time zones.
Yeah.
Whether in the US or Australia, they've basically got customer success people, which are like full-time employees that are just like there to answer fucking any question you want.
Yeah.
Just like do things for you.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And I think Wattify, even though they do, like every company make mistakes, they're the first company to own up to them and do their best to kind of fix them as quickly as possible. And that is why we like them so much, because look, at the end of the day, there are so many businesses now because of the internet that do exactly the same thing. And why do you pay more for one thing than the other is you pay for customer service, right? You pay for the experience. And that is why Wattify should be your choices, because it gives you a really good customer experience. So if you guys want to jump on board, wattify.com/MMP, and there's a deal to sign up and get a percentage off for your entire first year.
20% off your entire year.
It's amazing. Incredible deal. So wattify.com/MMP. And then as well, guys, truecoach.co/MMP. If you guys do remote programming for any clients, even if you just have clients at the gym and you want to store their programs, say you got, you know, you run a PT business and you have 50 clients, you know, or you might have 10 clients, but you want to make sure you've got one place to do their billing, which is coming soon, but to store their program, to get feedback when they're not there with you. TrueCoach is the best software platform that exists at the moment for all of this stuff. So I can't wait to see them take off and do amazing things in the future.
Yeah, for individual programming, it's the place to go. And give an example, like we use it at the gym with our coaches to give individual programs. We had a client just this week that's like moved out of the area, can't get going anymore. So now we just basically keep billing her, but give her the individual program through TrueCoach.
Yeah.
So that is the value. And I mean, if she ever comes back, she'll come back to the gym. But even if not, she stays part of the community and keeps progressing and keeps supplying work for our coaches.
Amazing. TrueCoach.co/MMP, guys. All right, cool. So this week, we are going to talk about, in this first part series, like I just mentioned before, how we hire, how we find the best coaches. So there actually isn't a great way currently to kind of source the best coaches in the world, because there are always great coaches out there looking for work, people graduating high school, people wanting to do internships, people graduating from their basic PT colleges, wanting extra work. They're all over the place, right? There's a hard place to reach them. But what we found does work really well is simply through your social channels, advertising that there's a position, right? Just having a careers tab on your website is extremely important as well. It's a great place for people to, you know, if they're interested in your business. I think what the great thing about having that careers tab there and also putting it on your social media is that people that like your business, they're going to follow you, right? They're going to check in on you. They're going to come to you for a certain reason. And that's already kind of the person that you want, someone that's chasing your business, right? Someone that wants to be a part of your mission, what you're doing, and then having an option for them to connect with you there just kind of makes that process smoother and facilitates it better. So I guess one of the mistakes that I've made in the past, or we've made as a business in the past, is that we haven't actively or constantly sought coaches when we don't need them. And it's not until you actually need a coach is when it's too late, right? So anyone that comes through the careers tab, I always try and have an interview with, just to kind of see where they're at, see what they're like, see if I like them, even if there's a position not available. Like, I've done 3 interviews in the last week. We don't have any coaching, like, we don't have any full-time coaching positions available, but it's still a great way to see who's out there, see what their kind of current state is with their employment. And, you know, if I really like them and I really want them on the team, or I really want to start the process with them, they'll be the first person to get a call over a, sort of a cold lead that I haven't met before.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's probably like one of the best tips you can get, particularly for fitness, is hiring before you need to.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is because when you don't do that, then you hire in a panic. So almost like doesn't really matter how good your process is of screening. If you've got to hire in the next 5 days because you're like, otherwise you're coaching every class yourself, or at least letting down your clients, you're going to end up sacrificing somewhere, right? Or settling early. So I think unless you do that first, it doesn't really matter what great processes you've got. You're way behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
And it's a hard one to do because it's not often what you feel like doing.
No. And I would say on that point you just brought up, coaching every class yourself, that is kind of the fear a little bit. If you've stepped out of coaching, you're not coaching as much, then thinking, oh no, I'm going to have to go back onto the coaching floor, I better hire this person, because of the fear of you being back out there, is not a good place to be in. You need to own up and be like, okay, it's okay, I'm going to do some coaching again, really enjoy it. But it's so important for your clients that they still have a familiar face, and they're not going to get someone in there that isn't the right fit for the business. That's always a scary place to be in, because, you know, you start watching it unravel and you go, oh no, what have I done?
Yeah.
And now you've, you know, sold this coach as like, you know, you've sold them as the solution to whatever the problem is. They're amazing. But you haven't been thorough enough with finding out who this person is and what they're going to be like. And as a result, you end up with someone that is just an absolute disaster for the business. And that's something that, you know, it's happened to us a few times, and it's just lessons you got to learn from. So stepping back in there, coaching a few more classes, giving yourself some time, and just protecting the members is something essential, I think, that you need to do if the time calls upon you to take place in that. I'd absolutely recommend doing that. Don't be fearful of jumping back into classes. So once we get through kind of, you know, we've got 4 or 5 coaches, say there's 2 positions available, the next steps that we take in the hiring process is, well, actually, you brought this up earlier, is that it is really important to check someone's CV to kind of see where they're at, because if you really like them as a person, which is obviously important, sometimes if they have no experience or their CV really lacks, you can make a poor decision because you are hiring someone that is highly unqualified. So we hired a young guy that's on the coaching staff, and we developed him for nearly 3 or 4 months before, you know, because he only done a little bit of coaching. So we built him up a lot before we let him take his first class, and that was a really good way to do it. I could have foreseen a situation where we were more desperate and we would have rushed him into coaching before he was ready, because his own confidence would have been there, and just our confidence in him wouldn't have been there. But because we waited the we bought ourselves enough time, we developed him well, we got him to be mentored by some of the more senior coaches at the gym. When we needed him, when we called upon him, he was ready to go. And that was, you know, the true gift of having a young guy learning with us in the classes with the members, taking his time with the whole process, so that when the time came for him to step in, you know, the gym was ready, he was ready, and it was just like the perfect way to do it. And that was, yeah, I think that was probably one of the best ways we've hired before.
Yeah, I think it really depends what you're hiring for. That worked really well because we were hiring someone that was like really fresh and we were building them up slowly. But then sometimes we've had people where we needed to get somebody in quicker and straight in, so we've hired someone with just more experience, right?
Yeah.
So really, I guess it depends the position you're going for.
Yeah. The next trial point we take from after there is we do basically mock coaching sessions with us as the owners, and sometimes we'll do it with some of the head coaches. But basically, we create this kind of fake scenario, and we preface it. We're like, look, we are going to be actors, okay? So don't address me as who I am, and don't ask me about things in my life which are actually true. Pretend that I'm just a member in the class, right? So we give them a little bit of brief. Oh, you know, I'm going to have this problem. I'm going to have a wrist issue. I'm going to be this sort of client. And we kind of say, you know, we've all been doing CrossFit somewhere, or we've all been training somewhere between 3 to 12 months. So we're not complete beginners, and we never put complete beginners in classes anyway. But we do have experience. We do know what we do. When you say go do a thruster, we might have to ask you what a thruster is, but we can do a thruster. Mm. So we don't make it too difficult for them, but it just gives you an idea of like, okay, here's the program. We've got 30 minutes. Here are the clientele. Let's just see how you coach. And there is so much to be gained from that. That mock coaching session, even though it's an artificial scenario, there's heaps to see how they handle it. Because, you know, we throw curveballs at them. We go, all right, we're doing back squats or whatever. And then I might just start doing front squats. And they'll have to correct that. Or then I might be doing back squats and I'm going to completely mess the tempo up or the reps up or that sort of thing. And then in the workout, my favorite one to do is to cheat, right? Because that's a really difficult scenario to see how someone reacts to that, right? So how is the coach going to handle the difficult situation of someone who is clearly cutting reps, right? Say it's like 15, 12, 9. I might do 5 and move on. I do that for a few rounds and I go, is this person going to start ignoring it and just go, oh, that's an awkward situation. I'm just not going to address that. Are they going to be too harsh? Are they going to be like, you're not doing the reps. Go back to the reps, right? Be commando style. Or are they going to find that perfect balance of like, hey, I'm just going to remind you, you may have made a mistake here. These are the amount of reps that are on the board. And then let them make the decision from there if they want to keep cheating or not, right? Because at the end of the day, the cheating comes down to the individual. If they want to cut the rep short, it shouldn't be anyone else worried about them. If they want to rob themselves short of a workout, then that's up to them, right? And so I like seeing how the coach handles that. We throw some scenarios in there like, oh, I feel really sick after that workout. What should I do? Just kind of seeing how they're handling that. Or just doing some really unsafe stuff and just seeing how they handle. Do they take the weight down? Do they stop the movement? There's so much to be gained out of that. And you will learn a lot from that process. And that comes after, you know, the sit down and the chat and that sort of thing. The next step I think is really important as well is taking them through a personality test. One of the ones we like to do is the 4 tendencies. The 4 tendencies is by Gretchen Rubin, and that tells you what kind of person, or it tells you why people act a certain way, what kind of their belief system is of how they act. That's accurate, right? That's how you'd say it is.
Yeah.
It's why you do what you do.
Yeah, maybe particularly like what motivates you,
right,
to do what you do. Like different people get different motivations for doing actions.
Yeah.
So it's particularly what is motivating for you.
Yeah. And it helps you understand this person as to like how you should approach them and how you should get them to do the things that you want to do. And there are actually certain personality types that if they showed up, I would actually hesitate on hiring them for certain positions. Just because there are certain roles in companies that are just way more suited to certain personality types. And if another person came up, I'm like, is the amount of hurdles I'm going to get with this personality type override the reward of them being good at their job? It's tough. It's a tough decision because we've had all of them. Yeah. Right? And some are very difficult to deal with. And it's like, is it worth that versus being a good coach? It's tough. Yeah. So, beyond that, there's not too much more complication. I'd say the only other thing after that is that we do take our time. We want to make sure that the expectations are right. You know, you will be needing to do some cleaning. We will require you to be there, you know, 15, 30 minutes before class, opening, shutting. We want to give them sort of a grace period of, you know, a week, 2 weeks where we do some shadowing with them as well. So they're going to watch us do class. We're going to get them to take half of class while we watch them. Then we take the other half. And then we're going to let them do a whole session themselves. And that usually takes about 2 weeks as well. That's when they get the interaction with the members.
Mm.
So what, this whole process has been somewhere between 3 to 4, no, I'd say 2 to 4 weeks, depending on how long we have. But by the end of that period, we will know if we're going to hire them or not. Yeah, we will offer them a position.
Yeah, I think what's great about it is there's some like crazy research that has come out, and it's about how, like I mentioned to you, how incredibly wrong you generally get it when you do interviews. So like often if you just do an interview and that's like the only thing you do, you just will make a wild judgment that you're like, man, I just like really like this guy. He's going to fucking kill it, or this girl. Or you're just the opposite, like, oh, just not the right fit at all. And that's just, like, that judgment call you make when you just, like, go have a chat with them. I know a lot of people think that's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, like, go with your gut.
Yeah, go with your gut. But there's been some, like, crazy studies recently where they've got people can either see a CV and do an interview or just see a CV. And the groups that just saw the CV made better hiring decisions than the ones that saw a CV and saw them for an interview in person.
Right.
Because the one in person, like, just... you get so persuaded by your gut, which is like not really based. You haven't even seen them do the job yet. They're not doing the job.
You might just like them as a person.
And you just like them, and then you get so sold on your own opinion. And it's like, if you really didn't like someone, it's going to be tough for someone to talk you out of that. Or if you really thought they were an absolute legend, you're just like, man, I'm just like totally sold. And you haven't even seen them do the job. So, that's why I think I prefer something like this, because when I see research like that, which is like often hard to believe, but it is what it is. You just know, like, you can still do an interview and stuff, but it's got to be some time where they're doing the actual thing.
Yeah.
And like, you can't fake the thing forever.
Yeah.
Definitely can do a really good job in an interview and not be a good coach.
Yeah. So, I forgot to add, between the interview and them doing their sort of mock coaching session and then their shadowing sessions, we do have them come to classes for like a week.
Mm.
Because what I like about...
As an athlete.
Yeah. Because I like to see their interaction with the members, how well they take instruction in the class. And then the other thing is, you know, I go, what class are you going to come to, right? Say they go, okay, I'm coming to 5, 6, and 5:30 a.m. I want to see how well they keep their word.
Yeah.
And how, and do they show up on time?
Yeah, it's a great one. If you just have like an interview and like a phone call and like come to three classes and then a shadow thing, like you've had 10 opportunities to be late already.
Mm.
Or just like 10 opportunities to screw it up, and people might make mistake one, but if it happens like more than once, like it's a bad sign in general, right?
Mm.
So, it just creates so many more hurdles the more things you do like that.
Yeah. And then, even once we've officially hired them, I still do some of their classes anyway as a client, just to give them some extra feedback in that kind of early period, just so I know things are going to be nice and tight. Things are going to be exactly how we want them going forward. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes the problem is if you let things go a little bit too long, then when you go to correct it, it doesn't really seem... I don't know, just it doesn't come across right. It's like, oh, you know, that thing that I said, you know, that kind of let slip for a little bit. Nah, you can't do that anymore. Yeah. And they kind of done it for a few and they're like, oh, but it was okay then. Yeah. So, the earlier you get onto those things, the better, right? I'll give you an example. One of our coaches, I forgot to tell them that they need to do a once over with the mop at the end if they're on the last class. And then I just knew the next session, I had to bring it up straight away. Like, hey, I totally forgot to tell you, if you are closing up doing last class, you need to do a once over with the mop. It is in our onboarding manual anyway, but for some reason, the manual just got lost in translation somewhere. But if I let that go for about 2 weeks, and then I go, hey, I forgot you got a mop. They go, man, what do you mean? Like, now I got a mop?
Mm.
It's like, it should have been the expectation at the start. They should have known what they were getting themselves into straight away. So, just something to consider. Get as many of the expectations as forward, as early as possible. If you see a mistake, get on it straight away. Earlier, the better. I think that just about covers it.
Mm. So, we've got next week, we are going to the, what do you call it, the other side of the coin?
Yeah, it's pretty much just the retention, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to go retention and then also in the scenario where you need to let someone go. So, how to retain people, how to retain good coaches, some of the systems we use, some of the good things to keep them, and then if you need to let go of a coach, how we go about that process as well. All right, see you then. Let's do it.